God, we thank you for these precious moments to gather as a church family, to know the presence of the Holy Spirit in our midst, to be reminded that we are not alone in this world. There's a God who created us, made us in his own image, the Bible says, loves us, loved us so much that he gave his one and only Son to die for us that we may have life. God, that loves us so much that he gave us his Spirit, not just to guide us, but to dwell inside of us, to cast out all fear, to fill us with perfect love. So today, Lord, in this time of worship, we thank you that we're able to step aside from the routine for just a moment and be reminded of the sweet, sweet presence of the Lord in this place. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Our New Testament reading today comes from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. The Apostle Paul writes and says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When I was a boy, at least where I grew up, it seemed like we spent most days outside. To stay inside would have been a punishment. So as long as we were able, we would be outside, sunshine, sometimes in the rain, sometimes in the snow. And one of the memories I have is oftentimes playing outside all day long, late in the afternoon, early in the evening, there would have been an aroma that would begin to fill the neighborhood. It was my grandmother's baking. And sometimes she would make homemade bread. And it seemed like in those moments, when I began to smell that fresh bread that was baking and cooling in the windowsill, I was willing to set aside whatever was happening, whether it was my turn at bat or we were in the middle of a hide-and-seek game, whatever it was, I would set aside what we were doing and say, "Guys, give me 10 minutes. Grandma's got some fresh bread." And I would go to my grandmother's house and share in that fresh, hot, homemade bread. Sometimes when I close my eyes, I can still almost smell it. Occasionally, maybe two or three times a week, late in the afternoon here at the church, I'll walk out into the office area and I'll say to Sharon, I say, have you seen Herman? And she said, "I think he's down in the kitchen." And I go down to the kitchen. You know what Herman's doing? He's baking bread. He doesn't realize what that does for me, but it takes me back to those moments, the smell of fresh bread. I'm getting hungry just thinking about it today. I've entitled today's message, "Finding Fresh Bread." We're in a sermon series for the month of January called Leap Year, in which we're talking about ways in which we can grow spiritually heading into this brand new year. Last week we said that for any type of spiritual growth to occur in our lives, it's going to depend upon our cooperation with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit gives life, and without the Holy Spirit's activity in our lives, all other activities and behaviors will prove fruitless. So last week, that was our focus, the power of the Holy Spirit. Today, I want to talk to you about how you and I find fresh bread. Daily bread, fresh bread. You know as well as I do that it doesn't take long for something that is fresh to become stale. Even my grandmother's homemade bread would become stale in just a matter of hours. That's why I ate it so quickly. Whatever it is that we have in this life, whether it's food that we eat or experiences that we have, even our relationship with the Lord, as fresh as it can also become stale at times if we're not careful. Maybe that's one of the reasons the Lord has us talking about spiritual vitality and spiritual growth at the beginning of this year. Maybe it's because the Lord doesn't want our walk with Him to become stale, but to remain fresh and vital. You know, if we're not careful, spiritual vitality can become complacent. Today I want to take a little bit of time to look at this story from Exodus chapter 16 today. And if you find yourself in this time of worship this morning, and if you examine your own life and your own heart and are discerning that maybe there are areas of complacency in your life, then you've come to the right place. We all struggle with that from time to time, and today we perhaps might hear something from God's Word that might stir our hearts to seek the freshness of God's Spirit each day. In Exodus chapter 16, we read the story of the people of Israel as they have entered into the wilderness, in between where they were and where God is leading them. They had spent 400 years in slavery in Egypt, and God had miraculously delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh, leading them on to the promised land. As I read this story this week for our Bible study on Tuesday mornings, I couldn't help but be taken back to our VBS this past summer. Some of you may remember that time. We had just a great time with the kids, and this was the story that we focused on all week long, was God leading His people out of slavery. We find very early in the story, in Exodus 16, that it's only been about a month since the Israelites have left Egypt, but oh, what has happened in that month. At the beginning of that month, as they had escaped Pharaoh's hand through the Red Sea, through God's miraculous provision, they celebrated. You can read about it in Exodus 15, Miriam's song of praise of God. But in just one chapter, what is about 1 month's worth of time, now they're grumbling. That's what it says in verse 2. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. Do you ever grumble? We all do. We all do. One translation uses the word grumble, another uses the word murmur. Some translations use the word complain. We all get it, don't we? We know what that's like. But if we're not careful, that attitude of grumbling can become a way of life for us. I've read this story for years, but this week as I studied it, I learned that the Hebrew word for grumble, which means to murmur or complain, it also means to stay overnight. Now think about that for a second. The next time you get into one of those moods where you start to grumble and complain and murmur about something, be careful that it doesn't stay all night with you and set up a tent in your living room. Because it will eat away at your spiritual vitality. And suddenly all you realize is that you're unhappy about something. It's been my experience that grumbling and gratitude are really difficult to coexist with each other. I'll try it sometime. When you're in a grumbling moment where you're complaining about this or that or the other thing, stop and switch gears and begin to be grateful for something. Thank God for something. And see how difficult it will be to continue to grumble in the midst of your gratitude. But if we're not careful, our spiritual vitality will become complacent. A.W. Tozer, the great pastor and author from generations ago, said, "Complacency is a deadly foe of all spiritual growth." Complacency is a deadly foe of all spiritual growth. If you want to grow spiritually, don't become complacent. I am convinced that it should not have taken the Israelites 40 years to make it through the desert. They probably could have made it in a very short period of time, but because of their disobedience and because of the attitude of their hearts, they wandered for years, for decades, for 40 years, the Bible says. They had grown complacent. May it not be so for us. You know as well as I do that the idea of freshness, doesn't last long. Fresh has a time limit. They even mark our food in the grocery stores with expiration dates. Even my grandmother's homemade bread had an expiration date. But God is gracious to us. God promised the people of Israel through Moses in Exodus 16:4. He said, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you." The people had been through a very significant situation in their life, and they were scared. They were anxious about the future. They began to anticipate that perhaps the provisions that they had brought out of Egypt was not going to last them. And they slipped into the situation where they thought that they had it better back in Egypt than they did at that moment. I mean, they even said that. They said, "We had food in our pots. Life was good." And in the back of your mind, maybe you'd like to scream to them like Moses maybe wanted to and said, "But you were slaves." And so God in his mercy provides bread from heaven. The people called it manna because they didn't know what it was. And God gave specific instructions that they were to go out every day and gather enough for that day. And on the day before the Sabbath, they were to gather 2 days' worth so that they didn't have to work on God's holy day. They were also instructed not to gather too much as if they were to hoard what God was providing, because freshness has a time limit. Remember what we prayed today during the Lord's Prayer, don't you? These are the very words of Jesus, Matthew 6:11. Jesus said, "Give us this day our daily bread." I don't know about you, but sometimes I want weekly bread. If I could get it, I'd take monthly bread. But God has only promised to give us daily bread. And if we would but trust Him and be willing to seek Him each day, He said He'd give it to us. Life is so daily, isn't it? Life comes at us daily. It doesn't come at us weekly or monthly or annually. It comes at us daily. And so every day, we need to learn to seek God's provision, God's presence, what God has for us that day. There's a spiritual practice that I want to talk to you about today that we call daily devotions. Many of you know what that is because you practice it on a regular basis. Some of you know what it is because you used to practice it on a regular basis. And maybe there may be some who've never heard of such a thing. What are daily devotions? Well, they can be different things for different people, but essentially it's taking time each day to read, to pray, to study, to reflect, to be with the Lord. You know what happens when we get out of the habit of daily devotions? We become complacent. We become stale in our faith. We drift
if you will. We begin thinking about things that we have no earthly reason to think about. We begin to dwell on things, whether it be a murmuring spirit or a complaining heart, things that set up camp in our lives that really God had no intention to be there. And maybe that's why Paul says in Colossians 3:20, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. What if I were to tell you today, church, that God has fresh bread to offer you each day? Would you believe me? That God had a word for your life each day, one that would calm fears and bring peace, one that would remind you of your place in His kingdom, one that would allow you to live out your life with the Spirit of God leading you. Would you believe me if I said that? You know, what's it look like for you and for me? Perhaps if we've strayed from that practice, to pick it up again. Now, I know that life is busy. I know that we have schedules to keep and places to be and things to do. I know how easy it is to hit that snooze alarm in the morning. But what does it look like for us to take 5 or 10 or 15 minutes a day to just seek God's face, to listen and read His Word, to see what God may be speaking into our lives? Billy Graham once said that the Bible is not an option, it's a necessity. And he ended that quote by saying, you cannot grow spiritually strong without it. I remind you to last week that it's the power of the Holy Spirit that brings growth. But just like God providing manna in the wilderness for God's people, the people had a responsibility to go gather it every day. And so, likewise, God provides fresh bread for our lives every day, but we have a responsibility to gather it every day. And so may I just encourage you and perhaps even challenge you by asking, how are you collecting the fresh bread that God is providing into your life every day? Someone shared with me this week about their own practice of daily devotions, and she said it was a way for her to set the first thought of her day. I like that. The first thought of the day. I mean, we can have all kinds of thoughts run through our minds as the first thought of our day, and that can set the course and the direction of our daily routine. My son Luke showed me this week that he had downloaded an alarm clock app for his phone. And I said, well, what's unique about that? We all have alarm clock apps for our phone. He said, yeah, but Dad, for me to turn off the alarm, I have to solve several math equations. I said, show me. So he set the alarm and it went off, this annoying music. And he handed me the phone. He goes, turn it off. I'm like, oh, my poor, dear old Aunt Sally. Well, how's it work here? What's going on? You know, it's math first. No, multiplication first. Division second. Math, addition. I forgot an alarm. I said, hey, fix it for me. I can't fix it. I don't want that to be my first thought of my day. Because there were thoughts that I can't share with you that were going through my mind at that moment. And so I have to find a way to set the thoughts for my day, the first thoughts. And I know no better way to do that than to spend time with the Lord. There are a variety of ways that any and all of us can do daily devotions. There are emails that can come into your inbox. There are apps you can add onto your phone. There are booklets and pamphlets and books that you can buy and spend time reading one page a day. And all of those can be used by God to feed your soul, to start out your day with fresh bread. I try to employ a variety of practices, one of which I shared a while back with you. You may not remember, but it's called a soap study. When I have extra time in the morning, I like to write in a journal and do what's called a SOAP study. S is for scripture. So whatever scripture I'm reading that stands out for me as I read it, I write it down in my journal. O is for observations, and I write down observations that I may glean from reading that passage of scripture. A is for application. I pray through ways in which I can apply that to my life. And P is for prayer. I spend some time in prayer and literally write down a prayer to close out that time of devotion. Let me share one of these SOAP studies. It took me about 15 minutes. It won't take me that long to read. This was a few months ago. The passage was Luke 13, verse 8. It's a story where Jesus tells of a person who comes across a tree that's not producing fruit. And they suggest that they cut it down. But the owner of the vineyard says, no, let's leave it alone for one more year. Let's dig around it. Let's fertilize it. Let's feed it. Let's take care of it. Let's see if it produces fruit in it. You know the story. So I focused on the verse, leave it alone for one more year. This was my observation. The fig tree was not bearing fruit. It was planted in the vineyard, given 3 years, yet not one piece of fruit had emerged. God looks for fruit in our lives. There must be some tangible evidence of the Holy Spirit's work in us. And the good news is that God is patient in waiting for the fruit to emerge. And not only that, He works in us and with us to bring it about. Here is my application. God gives second chances. Thank God for that. Am I more fruitful now than I was in past years? Will I bear more fruit a year from now? I pray that God will continue to work in me, digging around in my life and feeding my heart so that I may produce good fruit for Him. And my prayer for that day was, Lord, may You be patient with me today and do new and wonderful things in me in the year to come. Maybe that's not your style. I didn't have time to do a SOAP study this morning, but I woke up with a verse on my heart, and I looked it up and found the devotion dealing with Matthew chapter 10, verse 31. Maybe this is for you today, because it certainly was for me. I sat in my living room at about 6 o'clock this morning in the dark with only the light from my cell phone with a devotion on it. And God began to whisper to me through the scripture. And this is what I read. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the rooftops. And here's the word that God whispered to me. It's for someone today. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. Even the very hairs of your head are numbered. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Friends, I tell you, when I read that this morning, I could smell the fresh bread of God speaking His truth into my heart. And I wonder today if you've been fed by God's word, by God's people, by God's Spirit. And if you've come to church today and you've been fed in any way, thank God for that. But what will you do tomorrow? You don't have to go hungry. God has fresh bread for you tomorrow. Be diligent and faithful and find it. Let's pray. We thank You for the daily bread that You provide. O God, and pray that you would help us to discipline ourselves, to seek that fresh bread each day through the practice of daily devotions, to seek the truth of your word, to allow your Spirit to speak into our lives, and to allow the first thoughts of our day to be focused on you, to set our minds on things above, not on earthly things. So Lord, help us, remind us, and teach us to seek you before we seek anything else each day. These things we ask in Jesus' name.